In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. First off, so that you don't spend the whole sermon wondering why my face looks like it does and why I'm speaking a bit slurred, it's not because I had a stroke, it's because I have a tooth that has been giving me trouble. I had the first part of a root canal on Friday, and hopefully with some antibiotics and some time next week, you won't see me talking like this. But let me begin the sermon. 98 years ago today, the new baptism of the Church of Russia began. We always celebrate the Feast of the New Martyrs and Confessors of Russia on the Sunday nearest to this day, but it happens to fall on the exact day today. This began with the martyrdom of the Hierom Martyr Vladimir, Metropolitan of Kiev. Metropolitan Vladimir was an extraordinary man. He was born in 1848 from a priestly family. At that time in Russia, most priests came from priestly families. If your father was a priest, you usually would be a priest if you were a son. If you were a daughter, you would wind up as a matryoshka, usually, or a nun. You know, those are basically your options in life. Some people chose to become priests, but that were not from a priestly line, but that was the exception. His father was also a martyr. The life of St. Vladimir doesn't really give the details of his martyrdom, but that's an interesting fact, that he came from that kind of a lineage. He was born in the region of Tambov in a small town, and he went to the Theological Academy of Kiev. He was an extraordinary mind. He, among other things, translated a book on logic that was written in German into Russian that was published. And he was a married priest at first, but his matryoshka died at a young age, and soon after that, their only child also died. And so he took the monastic tonsure, took the name Vladimir. He was so sharp that the professors at the Theological Academy in Kiev really wanted him to become a professor, but he was eventually assigned various teaching jobs and then went on to become a bishop. And before he became the Metropolitan of Kiev, he at one time was the Metropolitan of Moscow, then later the Metropolitan of St. Petersburg, and then eventually he was assigned to Kiev. And so he was the first bishop to have served as the bishop of the three most important sees of the Russian Church. And by the time of the All-Russian Council in 1917, it was he who handed the bishop's staff to the newly elected Patriarch Tikhon. But the time of the, in March of, or I believe it was in the early part of 1917, you had what was called the National Revolution, or this was not the Bolshevik Revolution, but a democratic government, so-called, took the place of the Tsar. The Tsar was forced to abdicate. And this is a time, on the one hand, where there was some excitement because the church was no longer under the direct authority of the state in the way that it had been under the Tsar. And even though the Tsars were often very pious, especially the most recent one, there were limitations that were placed upon the church, and the church was really free to do what it wanted to do. But unfortunately, this freedom also unleashed a revolutionary spirit in the church, which, in the case of the Ukraine, you already had those that were advocating the autocephaly of the Ukraine and were trying to put pressure on St. Vladimir to support that. And there were many people who were refusing to commemorate Patriarch Tikhon. There were also people who basically wanted to turn the Orthodox Church into sort of a congregationalist church where the laity really called the shots and the bishops basically did what they were told to do. And St. Vladimir resisted all these things, and so in certain liberal quarters, he became very unpopular. And so in January of 1918, a civil war broke out in Ukraine. There were those that wanted Ukraine to become an independent nation. The history is somewhat confusing when you read all of this because there are so many radical changes. St. John of Shanghai, who was from Kharkov, and in 1918 finished his studies for law, and so he was a young man. He commented on his life and said that in a very short period of time, I lived in 4 countries, but I never moved. He stayed in one place, but that's how many radical changes took place in Ukraine. But there were shells being fired into the Kiev Cave Lavra, and St. Vladimir continued there, continued in prayer, and on the night before his martyrdom, he served in the church. And it was a especially prayerful service. And at this time, the Bolsheviks were going through the Kiev Cave Lavra, and they were mocking the services. They were stealing things. They were taking monks and whipping them out in the middle of the court of the monastery. And then on this day, 98 years ago, they went into his cell, and they began to beat him. They ripped his panagia off. They took the cross chain around his neck and began to choke him. They were thinking that they could maybe get him to point him to some money that they had not already taken. And then after they got what they could and realized there wasn't really anything for them to take of any value, they led him away. And one of the people in the monastery came up to get his blessing. And these people said, don't give any reverence to this bloodsucker. But in any case, the Metropolitan was able to give him a blessing. He said, goodbye, Philip. And very peacefully, he went away. And they noted that with the dignity that he left and was driven away from the monastery, but not very far. And he saw some clearing, and he said, is this where you're going to shoot me? He said, of course, we're not going to stand on any ceremony with you. And they took him out, and he said, may I pray? And said, well, be quick about it. And he prayed. He asked that God would forgive him. And then he said, may God forgive you. And he blessed them with both hands as they shot him. And then they bayoneted him, and they left him there. People heard the shots, and someone said they're shooting the Metropolitan, but other people said, well, there's too many shots for the shooting of one person. So they dismissed it. But the next morning, as some of the women came to the Kiev Caves for the early services, they saw the Metropolitan dead and mutilated. So he was carried to the Lavra. And one man, who at that time was a boy, recalls that his mother took him there and said, dip your fingers into the blood and remember that you have seen a true martyr of the church. This was a shock to all of Russia. And the word came to the council, which was still going on at this point. And they held a solemn ceremony, and they appointed this day to be a commemoration for not only St. Vladimir, but for those who would follow him, because they could see the handwriting on the wall, and they could see what was about to come, although I'm sure they had no idea of the scope of the bloodbath that was to follow. In the service last night, one of the stakira that we heard said this, O ye mountains of Kiev, which were blessed by the cross of the Apostle Andrew, praise ye the beginning of the dread baptism, wherewith the land of Russia hath been baptized anew, for a grace shone forth upon the Russian people, through water and the Spirit, unto the opening of the kingdom of God. There was it fitting for this renewal to begin. Through the blood of the first slain among the Russian hierarchs, the namesake of the enlightener of the Russian land, where this new Vladimir led forth from his vineyard through the gates of the sacred lava of the caves, was vouchsafed the crown of Stephen, forgiving him, blessing them that slew him, as a meek intercessor for our Lord. We commemorate this feast to remember those who suffered, but not just for that. The services of the martyrs are there for our instruction. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to be present at these services. These hymns are so beautiful, and if we will simply come and listen attentively and pray, we will be taught great truths. We don't know what the future holds for us, but it is possible that we may get a taste of this. This was foretold by an elder in China that what began in Russia will end in America. And as I've mentioned before, one variation of that account that I was told was that he added, but it will be worse. And if that is true and we live to see it, we need to study and learn the lives of these saints and emulate their example. We need to meditate upon their lives and be strengthened by their example so that if we face these trials, we will be strong. And even if we don't face these trials, there are all kinds of temptations that we will be strengthened against if we will simply learn from these men. Amen.